Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning, family. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. And we will continue our teaching on the subject, disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences. Once again, disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences. Now, if you found Proverbs 22, let's read together our foundational scripture that we have been using for this particular teaching on disobedience. And by the way, all scripture I read today will be from the Amplified Study Bible. Now, there might be some words that you don't see in your Bible, but do not be concerned. We will get to the same place at the same time. I guarantee you that. So, Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6. And it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will, for his abilities and talents. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. So we see here in the Word of God that we should train up our children. We should train up our children. And then it says, teaching them to seek God's wisdom and will. It says, for his abilities and talents. So that lets us know, number one, we should train our children. And then we have abilities and talents that God has given us. And those abilities and talents have to be nurtured through the training through God's word. And when we train our children properly, it says when they're old, they will not depart from that. Now, that verse says to train up a child. Now, that word train in the Greek simply means to make one to do. To make one to do. So we are to construct, to design, to establish, and to shape our children in God's wisdom and love, that when they are older, they would not depart from it. Amen. Now, because we know by the word of God that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, so proper training should begin at a young age that should keep him from departing from God's word when he or she is older. Amen. Now, they might stray off the path for a moment, because children are curious by nature, and so they like to do things on their own. But that proper godly training instills in them will cause them to come back to the teachings of God. Amen. Like I say, you know, we all have done things that's not in line with the word of God. But as Christians, we come back because we've been trained properly. This teaching on disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences, is for the body of Christ. Because there are many Christians today that have strayed from the commandments of God through disobedience, or whatever other reason that they might have strayed from the word of God. My question is simply this: why have they? Why have Christians, born again, spirit-filled Christian, strayed from the word of God through disobedience? Please turn with me to the book of John, chapter 10. Again, that's the book of John, chapter 10. And we're going to read verse number 10. But we're only going to read a portion of this verse. And so it's going to be John 10, 10b. And it says, and this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus is saying, he says, I came that they may have life and enjoy life, and they may have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. So Jesus tells us he's come that we may have enjoy life, that our life may be full of abundance, overflowing, just overflowing with his love and with his joy and with his enjoyment. Now Jesus tells us he came that we may have it and enjoy life and have it in abundance until it overflows. Then why are Christians disobedient to his commandment? Wouldn't you just in the natural, even if you didn't know Jesus, wouldn't you want to have life in abundance? Wouldn't you want to have life where you can enjoy it all the days of your life? Then why are Christians disobedient? I am only addressing the Christian family, not the world. See, because the world is going to do what they do, because they are children of Satan, the god of this age. Amen. I believe this subject is so important for the body of Christ because there is a deterioration within the body of Christ, whereas things were once in good condition but is now weakening and in decline. I mean, just look at the church, some churches today. You can walk into some churches and you don't know if you in the world or at some club or in a church setting. Amen. That's how declining some churches are. I hope all Christians are getting the importance and understanding of this message, because the men that I am teaching to is so important for them, because God gave the command to the man. That commandment was to be the spiritual leaders, the spiritual providers, and the spiritual protectors of our families. So that's another reason why this message is so important, because men are going to have to realize the time of stupidity is over. The time of disobedience is over. It is time to stand up and be the man that God had created you to be, after his image and after his likeness. There is always a cause and an effect for every action, and we as the body of Christ should understand this. I believe the Spirit of God gave me this message for the body of Christ to get our house in order. It is time that we get our heart, our house in order, to understand that disobedience is not going to be tolerated within the body of Christ. It's not going to be tolerated. Now, what the world does is on them, but within the body of Christ, it is on us. Judgment must begin within the house of the Lord. Amen. Let me repeat that. Judgment must begin within the house of the Lord. Now, I have to admit that I am not perfect, and I have been disobedient, but that was in the past, before I knew who I was, what I am, what I can do, and what I have in Christ. Amen. Now, the question might be asked, well, what is disobedience, Pastor? I'm glad you ask. Disobedience is rebellion against recognized authority. Once again, disobedience is rebellion against recognized authority. And in this case, the recognized authority is the will and the word of God. Amen. Now let's look at one example of authority. Let's look at one example of authority God gave mankind, and then we will look at mankind's disobedience to that authority before we go into where we left off from last week's teaching. Go in your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to look at an example of God's authority. So Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 16 and 17. And it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying." So we see here, the Lord gave God a commandment. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a commandment. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may freely, unconditionally eat the fruit from every tree of the garden, but only from the tree of the knowledge of the recognition of good and evil you shall not eat. Otherwise, on that day that you eat from it, you shall most certainly die because of your disobedience." So we see here, God gave mankind the authority, his recognized authority, to go and eat from all the trees, from all the bushes, from all the branches that were in the garden, except this one. He gave him that authority. That was recognized authority that God had given man. And so man could do it. He was allowed to do that. So here we have an example of recognized authority given to man by God, giving him the authority to eat from all the trees in the garden except the one. And that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, can you imagine what that was like man and woman, the only ones on earth as recorded in the Bible, could eat from any tree or bush or vine of their choosing. But they made the wrong decision and became long-lasting and life-changing, even to this very day. Amen. Now let's look at an example of rebellion against that recognized authority that was given to man in the Garden of Eden. Amen. So you're there in Genesis. Please go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to look at an example of rebellion or disobedience. Amen. Against God's recognized authority. So the book of Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 6 and 7. And it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delightful to look at, and a tree to be desired in order to make one wise and insightful, she took some of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate." Verse number 7. "Then the eyes of the two of them were opened." That is, their awareness increased. "That they knew that they were naked, and they fastened fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." So here we see God had given man recognized authority to eat of all the trees. And he told him the consequences, the cause and effect, if he ate from the tree that he told him not to eat of. But because man was given a free will, they made a choice. They made a conscious decision on themselves to be what? Disobedient to the word of God. And first, the woman ate. She gave to her husband. He ate. Their eyes were open. In other words, they increased in awareness, and they knew that they were naked, because prior to them, they were spiritually and morally innocent. They didn't know they were naked, even though they were naked. But because they ate of the fruit of the tree that God instructed them not to eat of, they became aware naturally of their bodies being naked. And then they sewed fig leaves together and hid up their private parts. Now, we all have been disobedient in some form or the other. But our goal is to be consistently obedient to the word of God by making the right decisions that line up with his word. See, our decisions, what we do, has to line up with the word of God. Amen. Now, let's continue with our teaching from last week. So turn back to the book of John, chapter 10. Again, John, chapter 10. And we're going to read verse 10, but this time we're going to read the first portion of this verse. So it's John 10, 10a. And again, Jesus is speaking. And it says, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy." Let me repeat that again, because I don't think a lot of people heard that. It says the thief, and the thief is another synonym for the word Satan or the devil. So it says the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. We are continuing our teaching on what causes the Christian, the believer, to be disobedient to God's commandment or his word. Why are Christians disobedient when God has given us the abundant life? Now, we have already discussed free will, which is a privilege given by God. for us to make our own decisions. And sometimes those decisions can be negatively life-changing and long-lasting if they don't line up with the Word of God. Amen? Now, please turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And please go to verse number 12. And it says, fight the good fight of faith in the conflict with evil. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you make the good confession of faith in the presence of many witnesses. So the scripture says, fight the good fight of faith in conflict with the evil. And then so we can make the good decisions. Amen. It says, or the good confessions, or the good confessions in the presence of many witnesses. So first of all, we find out that we're in a fight. But it's not a physical fight. It is a faith fight. Amen. We are in a faith fight. As I said before, you know, we're in a fight. I've told you that before, but it's not a physical fight, but a faith fight. Satan is after your faith. Satan is after your faith. And if he can convince you to succumb to his thoughts, ideas, or suggestion, then he will continue until he eventually wears you down and destroys you. The next reason believers, born again Christians, are disobedient is because they do not realize that the fight that we're in, we have an adversary. We have an adversary. When you are in a fight, you have an opponent. And our opponent, or better yet, our adversary, is the devil. Amen. Please go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Again, Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read verse number 12. And it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly or spiritual places. Amen. So we do not fight against the flesh and blood. Means that our enemies are not human, but demonic. Our enemies are not human, but demonic. The Bible calls the devil or Satan the prince of this world in John 12:31. The ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient in Ephesians 2:12, and the god of this age in 2 Corinthians 4:4, and the accuser of the brethren in Revelations 12:10. This is our true enemy, our adversary. This means that Christian's life is not primarily, this means that the Christian's life is not primarily a battle against people, whether they are political leaders, co-workers, difficult neighbors, family members, or even those who oppose Christianity. The Apostle Paul identifies and calls them as the following. But let me repeat what I just said. This means that the Christian's life is not primarily a battle against other people, whether they are political leaders, co-workers, difficult neighbors, family members, or even those who openly oppose Christianity. The Apostle Paul identifies and calls them as the following. Number one, he calls them rulers. And rulers are that which are high-ranking spiritual opposed to God. And once again, rulers, they are high-ranking spiritual forces opposed to God. He also calls them authorities. Now, authorities are evil powers that exist or exert control and influence the world. Then he calls them powers of this dark world. These are demonic influences that work in earthly systems, cultures, and governments. And we see them in cities throughout the country and world. And then he also calls them spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. These are the unseen demonic forces that operate beyond what we can see. Behind many of the conflicts, temptations, and struggles in life, there is a deeper spiritual reality. The devil and his forces work to spread lies, promote sin, and oppose the kingdom of God. Well, I'm about out of time for today, but please join us next week when we continue our teaching on disobedience. But until then, remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.